Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
This isn't yelling. When I yell, you'll know it.
You know, we try to instill all the good things in them, have morals, and to be something.
Go pick up your booty or you're going to get a timeout, mister.
No!
That's it! Take Jake upstairs and give him some Ritalin.
My parents always told me, they said, this is the first time we've done this too, you know. There is no parenting manual.
You're doing a great job.
One day they're babies, the next thing you know, they're off on their own.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. If you want to be in the know now, you can subscribe to Azusa Pacific on Twitter and receive updates on the latest APU news and events. Just go to twitter.com/AzusaPacific, and you can also get tweets from Dr. Jim Burns as well, and they're all connected to our Facebook and connected to our Homeward website, and oh my goodness, social media. We are all connected, and that's important to be connected, but sometimes we can be connected with our kids and not really have any sort of real relationship with them. We've just got that hyper-connectivity going on. Today, part two of a conversation about being authentic and really being transparent with your kids. Now, here's Dr. Jim Burns and special guest Pastor Jeff Schulte and his wife Brenda here on Homeward.
During our last visit with the Schultes, we talked about the need for parents to make mom and dad time a priority, even if it meant scheduling a date or even scheduling a regular time for physical intimacy. And Jeff, establishing that time for you and Brenda, that was foundational for your marriage, wasn't it?
In our minds, it was something we said to ourselves, we need to begin to plan a little more because we had not been as intentional for a season and we were seeing the effects on our relationship. Mm-hmm. And so it was a little bit of a gut check because we never thought we'd be there.
Right.
But we just had to pull back and say, we need to be more deliberate and to make some choices that in some situations, it looks like it puts your children second, but that's exactly what it's doing, which in the end puts your children first because they've got a marriage that's speaking volumes to them in the end. And this is the picture for me. In the end, it's showing them the picture of who God is, because where else, if they don't see a physical picture of a leader who's willing to lay his life down for his bride, or they don't see a wife who's willing to give herself to that leadership, they'll miss the picture that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 5 of a Savior who laid his life down for a church, and a church that willingly follows that leadership. Bottom line is, I think our marriage shows our kids who God is and how he wants to relate to them.
Yeah, and if it's that important, then it means it's so important that we deal with our marriage partner, and we work on it, and we take the time. So what do you do when you're just absolutely exhausted and you say, you know what, enough's enough? I mean, what are some practical things that you do with the kids, with each other, to just kind of pull back?
I'd go back to what we said at the beginning when we said that we don't do it all.
Yeah.
I also mean that literally, that we don't do it all.
Oh.
In that today our culture, we think being good parents means availing our kids to every single opportunity that's presented to them, whether it's travel, soccer, and I could think of 100 different extracurricular activities that, by the way, has doubled in the last 20 years in our culture, because we all want to be such good parents. Yet all the studies show, in fact, recently a very large federally funded study, there's also a study at the University of Michigan, the YMCA has done studies like this, but research is coming out more and more where they're saying that the number one predictor of success for a child is not the AP courses they took. It's not the quality of their education. It's not what athletic teams they were on. This is amazing. But the number one predictor, when they've excluded for ethnicity, family size, income, all the way down the line, pull those variables out, it's this: that family ate dinner together at least 5 nights a week. That's unbelievable. If you want your child to be successful, sit down together as a family. Now, for that to happen in any family, that means you need to say no to a lot of activities. And with 6 children, I go back again, it doesn't matter whether it's 2. I coach little league teams, and I coach teams with kids that are playing 2-3 sports a season, and the kids are tired. And really, the parents think they're loving their kids and they're valuing their kids in those choices. But if they truly valued what's best for that child, they'd say no to some of those things, and that child would just be at home being a child. and them being parents and the family spending some time, an evening even, this is so novel, but just an evening without a TV on, sitting around in the living room. Mm-hmm. And most families, when that happens, it's like this rare thing that occurred. And I think parents need to spend less time. This is so hard, and I feel like if people knew us, they'd know we're beggars, just trying to show the beggars where we're finding bread. But because it's so hard to say no, but I think in the end we just pull back and we go, if we truly value our kids, what they need most from us isn't, they don't need a taxi driver, and they don't even need someone cheering at their game. They need a parent that's got time to relate to them. Mm-hmm. And the only way that's going to happen is if we resist the cultural pull to be running around like crazy chickens with our head cut off, running our kids everywhere. And you can't do it. Mm-hmm. And we don't.
I think a lot of times when we do that kind of a lifestyle, it's because we are almost running from intimacy with our spouse, or we're running from something because we're so busy. It's kind of the deal where it just keeps spinning, so we just keep going. The plates are going to fall. And frankly, the plate sometimes will fall if we just stop, but maybe that's exactly what we need it to.
Well, and then you stop and you wonder, what am I going to do? Do I have to talk to that person, or, you know, I'm sitting across from them? What are their interests? I don't even know that person anymore. This child is growing up, and I don't even know what they like to do, other than I've been driving them around for 3 years.
Right. Well, and we have all of us have experienced pain and disappointment. We're disappointed with what our lives have become. We're disappointed with our spouse. We're disappointed with a child and how they're relating to us. We're disappointed with what's become of our family, or there's just a lot of hurt. And you're right, Jim. I think that busyness is a welcome medicator to pain. And because we're all hurting, it's just easier to be busy. And then what we do, by the way, then is we create kids that are busy. Mm-hmm. And so we just replicate it. And I know for many of the couples that we spend time with, not just speaking at marriage conferences, but for us just living life with young couples in the church where I pastor, a lot of these couples, they want to learn how to say no, and they want to get off that hamster wheel. But they've never experienced anything but the hamster wheel. That's all. That's the way they grew up. That's the way they're parenting. And it's almost like this inertia is so great, they don't know how to turn it around. And I think for us, it just gets back to falling on our knees, quite honestly, as parents, and saying, oh, God, this is not something I can do. Mm-hmm. This is way bigger than me. It's way beyond me. I can't do this in my marriage. I can't do this as a parent. You've got to do this. And we call it believing God to do what only He can do. Mm-hmm. And the fun thing about that is when God does what only He can do, you really experience Him. And then I go back to the bigger picture for our life. Life's more than marriage, and life's more than parenting. It really is connecting with an eternal God that loves us and created us. And I want to experience Him. And I think I experience Him through really those moments of saying, boy, I need You to do what only You can do. And I'm checkmated here by my life. I have no moves. And I need You to do something big.
I would say practically how it plays itself out, though, for me as a mom, when my kids' friends are involved in everything, and so it's so tempting to just say yes and let them be and do anything they want to do. I feel like I'm holding them back. I feel like I'm limiting them. I'm not being the best mom for them and by giving them everything they want. And I think what God is showing us the longer we parent is that I have to believe by faith that they need us, that they really do need me, the good, the bad, and the ugly about me, and that spending time with me at home is better. You know, that sounds prideful to say. I don't mean it in that way at all. I just mean that God has chosen me to be the parent to them, and that my time that I can invest in them and just love them and be with them and encourage them matters.
Well, and there's another side to it, too, because you know, my kids all want to be in all those things. Mm-hmm. And so when we say no, and we say, you know what, you can limit yourself to two of those activities a year. And that's what we give them, two extra curriculars a year, and we make them choose. We help them choose. We're still their parents. They don't run the house. We're still the heads of the home. We lead this thing. But then even in some of that, they have to wrestle with their own disappointment, with their own longings, with their own unmet desires, because they're thinking, like many adults do, that if I go out and do all these things, that truly will satisfy me. And I think what we're finding there, too, and this is where we have to walk by faith when we say no.
Amen to that. That's so important. Be the parent. say no to some of those things that are happening in the outside world. Just set the right tone at home for your kids. And today here on the Homeward Broadcast, you're listening to Dr. Jim Burns and his conversation with Pastor Jeff Schulte and his wife, Brenda. We're talking about being transparent with your kids. And Jim has written about this in his book, 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family. Also in his book, Confident Parenting. Sometimes I think the reason so many of us parents get so busy with all these different activities, getting our kids going in 90 miles an hour in different directions, is because we lack the confidence that just having some family hang time, some one-on-one FaceTime, we lack the confidence that that's going to be enough to instill biblical principles in their lives. The book Confident Parenting gives you the confidence that you need to be the kind of parent that your kids need, and you can order a copy directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center. When you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, as with the sale of all of Jim's books at homeward.com. So check us out online today at homeward.com for more of the resources from Dr. Jim Burns.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Man, is this flight packed.
Everyone wants to get home to their families just like us.
I heard that. Hey, Phil, didn't you only have one carry-on when we started out on this trip?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I carry a second one inside my bag.
No kidding. What's in it?
Well, just a few things for the kids. I try and bring them back something every time I go on the road.
Yeah, nice.
Just to let them know I'm thinking about them.
Gifts are great. I love the feeling I get when I give something special to one of my children. At the same time, however, I know it's important to not overdo in the gift-giving department. Periodic gifts, thoughtfully chosen and given with affirming comments like, I love you, so I got you this special gift, can really help meet a child's need for love. However, be careful not to overdo it. The next time you buy or even make your child a gift, express your love verbally as you present it. You can also express your love by refusing to give your child something that you really think is inappropriate. Encouraging parents, building families, that's what we're all about at Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. I think at the heart of what we're talking about here, deep down, is the desire of every parent.
That's what every parent wants. They're going to want an 18-year-old to look at them and long for an intimacy with God.
They'll still be hungry. I think too often, Jeff and I talk about this a lot, that we see so many parents trying to satisfy their kids. And what's the result? If a kid is satisfied, they don't need God.
Or they don't realize they need him.
That's what I mean. They don't realize they need him. And so parents are trying to fulfill their kids' needs when reality...
And protect them from pain,
right,
and disappointment. And those are the very vehicles that God will use to give them a heart that needs him and is passionate for him. And so it's in our inadequacy, even as parents, and the needs that our kids feel because we're their parents, that I think it opens the door for them to find Christ.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in reality, what you're trying to do is not raise good kids. You're trying to raise responsible adults who will love Jesus to the next generation. And when you bring issues toward them that will, you know, cause them sometimes to have pain because they can't do soccer and music and French class or whatever it may be, you're really giving them a gift, and you have to look at it, you know, in that way.
It's a huge gift that at the time doesn't look like a gift.
Right.
And I think that requires faith for a parent to look beyond the short term to the long term, to say, what do I really want? Bottom line is, if my kid doesn't make the high school soccer team, is his life over? I mean, what do I really want for my child? And what does he or she need to be most successful in life?
Or to set them up to win. Is it satisfying them now, or is it helping them struggle,
right,
and be in the process with them so they will be able to stand firm and be steadfast and have fortitude in what will be required?
Right.
No matter what God wants to use them,
right,
or how he wants to use them in the future in their life. I want to give them the gifts they need to succeed. And I think sometimes as parents we get confused.
Yeah. Well, it's really your job as a parent to do it, but most parents don't do it very well. If a 5-year-old walked in here and I said, would you like an ice cream cone or would you like a $500 bond for your college education? They're going to want the ice cream cone.
Yeah.
And that's natural. You know, but in reality, that bond would be a lot better for them in terms of their future. But it's the parents' job to help them understand that. It's not their job. They're a young kid.
I think we forget that. Mm-hmm. I really do think as parents, we forget that we're the parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really do. And so I think we don't have the courage, right, to make choices,
right,
that we believe are the best interest for our family.
Right.
And we have to remind ourselves that, wait a minute, we are the parents here. And And we're running this thing. And again, I think you've already gotten a picture from us that we're not talking about this tightly controlled, well-swabbed deck of a ship. I mean, our place is crazy. Or I think I would rather learn how to train a stallion to run than to try to kick a nag into gear. And so our kids are high-strung. Our house is loud. Brenda homeschools the kids, so they are home all day, all of them, and they are getting into it with her, and they're having to call the principal at the office sometimes, and I have to be on the phone with my 11-year-old and tell him he needs to respect his teacher, and you know, all that. It's just, it's nuts.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Right.
I love it.
Right.
And I hate it. Because life is hard.
Mm-hmm.
But because you know Christ, he's good.
Yeah. Boy, that's great. Brenda, you were talking about your kids almost enjoying the fact that they'll see you guys, you know, be romantic. And I understand there's a story that took place once with, you know, two of your kids. And why don't you tell us about it?
Well, Jeff and I actually were down visiting / in a disagreement / arguing. I think that would be the proper word to use.
The kids knew, and they'll say this sometimes to us. They'll say, are you guys working it out? Because we talked to them a lot. We say, you know what? Yeah, we have to work this out. And so we were working something out. Okay.
And it was taking us a while. And one of our kids was like, boy, that must have been really serious. It's taken you guys so long to work it out. But it was late at night, and we were downstairs, and the two oldest ones, 13, a 13-year-old daughter and 11-year-old son.
This was just about 2 months ago. Yeah.
They came downstairs, and they just wanted to make sure that we were working it out and that we would stay downstairs for a while. And so I thought, oh, they're up to something, you know. And so we were talking, and then they'd appear once again, and they were like, oh, Mom, you look tired. You know, don't you think you need to go upstairs? And my son was sort of prompting me, and I was like, you know, Jay, I'm not in the best mood, so I just don't try to pull anything on me up there. And we walked upstairs, and I still was in a pretty bad mood. I think I just wanted to go right to bed. And we round the corner to our bedroom, and on the door is a sign that says, The Den of Love. We opened our door, and they had taken our room and transformed it. Did you want to call
it? They transformed it into a tacky honeymoon suite. That they'd done. Now, and you know, here's the thing, and it's not a sick weird thing. I think our kids are just enjoying
very
mom
healthy
and dad. And they walked in there, they had cleared off everything off the nightstands, and there were candles lit, and
they had taken all the pictures. I don't have a lot of decorations in my bedroom, but I have pictures of all the kids, and they had taken them all and turned them down and like hid them and covered them with blankets. And so there was the sign on the closet door that said the royal dressing room, and the bathroom said the royal bath. And my heart was so warmed, one, just because my two oldest kids were getting along for an hour and they had connived this, but two, that they would think about Jeff and I like that. And they even said, you know, enter into the den of love where you will spend the evening together. And I think it just warms my heart when I see them understanding how being together is important to us. The other thing was they knew earlier that we were in an argument. And I think part of showing your kids or valuing intimacy and then letting your kids see that, why they would value is because they know that there's times we don't get along. And they see us work through things, and they see that at the end, we work it through. And they really thought we'd work it through and then want to be close.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that's okay.
Right. That's really good. Really, really good. And what it does is it helps them understand that, you know, you can have arguments and you can have disagreements, and yet you can work them out. I love that. Work it out.
It also gives them a healthy picture, I think. Again, they're in the adolescent years, and we're presenting intimacy as a holy gift from God that is absolutely a privilege and a gift from the context of a marriage.
Yeah.
And so we're also showing them, I think, a bigger picture than what the world will show them about mm-hmm. what physical intimacy is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're praying that God will use that for them when they have to make choices, serious choices, between settling for less or waiting for the best that God has for them. And they had a mom and dad that they saw were experiencing the best together, and that's a vision.
I was going to say, there's two ways to communicate, even in the whole area of intimacy or sex before marriage. You could major on, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Or you could give your kids a picture of God's plan and raise the bar and say, look what this can be like when you wait. Look.
In fact, that four-poster bed, all three of my girls, we've got this deal, and it was kind of, I don't know how it happened. One night I was laying in bed, and we're giggling and talking. I was reading a book or something, one of my oldest asked me someday when she got married if she could have our bed, because they just love this bed. They think it's romantic, and they they called it, what do they call
it? Romance bed.
Oh, they call it the romance bed. And because we had, for what happens for 10 years, we just had a mattress. And then about 5 or 6 years ago, I finally got a really nice bed for my wife and for our bedroom. And so the girls just love this bed. And she said, can I have that when I get married? She goes, I want the romance bed when I get married. And I said, Jenna Rae, I said, if you save this bed for your marriage, I said, you can't have my bed with my wife. I said, but I will buy you any bed you want.
Mm. Boy, that's a powerful illustration and a great way for us to conclude this part of the program today. Parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns concluding his two-part conversation with Pastor Jeff Schulte and his wife Brenda Schulte, and we've been talking about being transparent with your kids today here on Homeward. If you missed any part of this program, by the way, we are always streaming audio at homeward.com. You can also podcast along with us through iTunes. Just go to homeward.com, hit the podcast button. It'll take you directly to our site on iTunes, and then you can go ahead and get that subscription going. Absolutely free, and that's important that you have the access to that information and that audio as well. Jim, this is a good program today we've been talking about, but it's not necessarily for the control freak parent. That's for sure. Take the final moments of our time together and talk about that.
That's not the way God wants us to raise our kids. He wants us to hold on loosely to them and to trust Him for guidance. And that's a message I think we heard loud and clear from Jeff and Brenda Schulte today on the program. They have quite a challenge with Jeff's full-time work in ministry and with Brenda's responsibilities as a full-time homeschooling mother of six, yes, count them, six kids, ages 2 to 13. They've learned the value of parenting with an open hand. And my thanks to Jeff and my thanks to Brenda for sharing with us today. Well, as we wrap things up here today, I want to leave you with two tips and two tools for helping you learn how to keep an open hand when it comes to parenting. First tip, speak their language. Understand their culture. We were 6, 8, 11, 16, but we were never their age. We're baby boomers or Gen X. And really, these are the kids who are called the millennials. They think differently. They act differently. They're influenced by a different type of a generation. And keep in mind that just because you're sincere with your kids doesn't mean that they expect you to be perfect all the time. This is a generation that doesn't care as much about perfection. They want consistency and they want authenticity. And if you can keep on modeling those traits for your kids, you won't have to hold on so tightly to them because they'll naturally want to follow your lead. So speak their language, hear their heart. Second tip, kids model the behavior they see most often in their parents, and that includes their spirituality. You can't fake your faith, mom and dad, certainly not with God, and especially when it comes to your own kids. Remember that as Christians, we're all saved by grace, and our kids are paying extremely close attention to how we handle things when we mess up.
Mm. How we resolve conflict, how we spend time together in the Word, what your spiritual relationship is like with each other, with the relationship with God, too. So very important, and kids are watching. As Jim likes to say here on the Homeward program, children see, children do. And that's why Jim and Kathy Burns have written a devotional book. And if you're not necessarily even wired for devotions, I know it's tough for a lot of couples to find the time to get together every day and do a kind of a quiet time with each other. You don't have to do it every day. How about every week? And if you'd like 52 faith conversation starters for couples, you'll want to read Jim and Kathy Burns' book called Closer. Now, a copy of Closer is waiting for you in our Homeward Online Resource Center. You can buy it at Christian bookstores. It's available online as well. But if you do order a copy directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, and we appreciate the fact that you are supporting us in that way. So go online today if you're not there already for ordering information for Jim and Kathy Burns' devotional book for couples called Closer. You'll find that information at homeward.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.